Good afternoon. It is 19 minutes after 5 o'clock, and you're listening to Raven Radio, KCAW, Sitka. Today is Tuesday, September 17th, 2013. I'm Ed Ronco with Raven News. Southeast Alaska has more residents and more jobs than ever. That's according to a report released today during the Southeast Conference's annual meeting, which is taking place this week in Sitka. Melanie Shivens of Juneau-based Scheinberg Associates assembled the report called Southeast Alaska by the Numbers. She says Southeast has finally come back from the 1990s timber industry crash. It's also largely recovered from the more recent global economic recession.
Nearly every single economic indicator in the region is up and continuing to rise. It has taken nearly two decades, but the Southeast Alaska economy is now in a cycle of growth and is stronger than ever.
The report says the region added 2,800 residents from 2010 to 2012, the period studied. The total population hit almost 75,000, topping the previous record a little below 74,000 set a decade and a half ago. Shivens says Juneau grew the most. Ketchikan, Sitka, and Haines attracted many of the other new residents.
The largest group moving here are the 20-somethings. This group is particularly having trouble in the lower 48 job market. They move here for jobs in the summer in the visitor industry, and they stay because they have no jobs to go back to.
She says Southeast's payroll topped $2 billion for the first time in 2012, a 10% increase over 2 years. Those wages went to 46,000 people, which is also a record.
Leading the way were gains in mining, professional and business services, the visitor industry, construction, and the Coast Guard.
The report projects the tourism, mining, and healthcare industries will continue to grow in future years. It says the seafood sector will remain about the same, and government and timber will shrink. We have a link to the full Southeast Economic and Population Study with more numbers and more explanations on our website, kcaw.org. Today we continue our series of profiles on the candidates for municipal office. Benjamin Miyasato is one of three candidates for Sitka Assembly. It is his first run for municipal office, but not his first time as an elected official. Miyasato is presently vice chairman of the Sitka Tribe of Alaska's Tribal Council. If you've seen Benjamin Miyasato in person, you've probably seen his hat. It's a baseball cap with the word veteran emblazoned across the top in gold.
Operation Iraqi Freedom, I went to Baghdad, Iraq in 2005 and served my first deployment over there.
Miyasato is retired from the military now, but he says the lessons he learned as a sergeant in the Army have prepared him for elected office.
What are the hard decisions that need to be made? A lot of times when you make decisions, especially when it concerns others and you are an elected official, is that sometimes you have to make those hard decisions, and that's one of those where people can take the easy decision, and that's one of those things where I think that when it comes to the time to make the hard decisions, I think I can do those.
Miyasato is presently vice chairman of the Sitka Tribe of Alaska's Tribal Council. As part of those duties, he represents the tribe when it gives updates to the Sitka Assembly.
Before that, I had no idea how STA and the city, how they interacted. So all of it is all new. And from what I've seen, it's I think the communication and the working together part, I think it's very good.
A run for assembly has been on Miyasato's mind before, but this year he says he was approached by members of the community.
There seemed to be interest out there by the public that they were coming up to me asking me to run, so that was another reason why I thought this year would be the right time to run.
Miyasato was born in Sitka in November 1963, just a few days after the assassination of President John F. Kennedy. The 1960s were a time of tremendous change in the United States, and Miyasato says that in the time since then, he's seen changes in Sitka, too.
The Sitka that I live in now, I like the fact that it's a small town, that people know each other, that you're able to go and do your day-to-day business, and you'll always run into somebody that you know, always.
He says he likes that change comes slowly in Sitka, that the town is steadfast. But we also asked him to talk about the Sitka he wants to see.
I'd like to see a little bit more change come about a little bit quicker on some items out there, that some issues out there, and that's one of the things I'm hoping I'll be able to do.
Like what issues?
I think the one thing that I keep hearing again and again, and I'm not sure, I mean, it's to be seen how the decisions that are being made now, how that will affect future, like the affordable housing, about how they're opening up part of, I think it was in the paper, about part of the bench lands.
The assembly recently finalized a sale of 4 lots in the Benchlands neighborhood to Sound Development, LLC, a locally owned company. The price? Just over $340,000. But plenty of other lots remain, and the city has been working for years to do something with them. Miyasato does not elaborate on his exact feelings about the Benchlands. He says on that and on other city issues, he needs to learn more before he can give an honest answer. His only information on the issue has come from media reports.
When you read or hear news, you're getting not the full picture. And that's the one thing I do like, is to get the full picture, because if anything, I like to study the issues and see both sides of it. To get better understanding, and that's one of the things I'm hoping to be able to do is, if on assembly, is to get the full picture of what the issues are out there.
Ben Miyasato is on the assembly ballot with Aaron Swanson. Stephen Eisenbeiss is the write-in candidate. You can hear this profile again and previous profiles on our website, kcaw.org. Tomorrow morning and in this newscast tomorrow afternoon, we'll introduce you to Assembly candidate Aaron Swanson. Later this week, you'll hear from the school board contenders. And if you have questions for any of these candidates, hold on to them until next week. We're going to have live call-in forums on Wednesday and Thursday, the 25th and 26th, the school board on Wednesday, and the assembly candidates on Thursday. You'll have a chance to ask them anything you're curious about. The city of Wrangell has a new feature on its website. Viewers can now see real-time information about Wrangell's electrical system. KSTK's Shady Grove Oliver has more.
Clay Hammer is the superintendent of Wrangell Municipal Light and Power. He says this tool will give the community a chance to keep track of the city's electricity.
It just kind of gives you an insider's view of what's happening with the Wrangell distribution system.
On the webpage, the diagram is divided in half. The left side shows the city's diesel plant.
And we have our 4 generators listed there. And when we are generating diesel power, you can actually look online and see how much power we're generating with which generator and that kind of information.
The right side represents the Taiyi Hydroelectric Project, run by the Southeast Alaska Power Agency, or SEPA.
And basically it tells you what we're importing from SEPA in terms of megawatts, what our VAR load is, and what the actual voltage is.
The two sides together make up all of Wrangell's power, what the city's diesel generators put out and what the city brings in from hydro. On the lower half of the page, there are 4 lines marked FDR 1, 2, 3, and 4. Those stand for feeders 1 through 4. The feeders provide power to different parts of the city.
If you know which feeder you're on, and you can call us, and we'll certainly fill you in and let you know what feeder you're on, you can look at this and you can tell what that particular section of town is doing load-wise.
Here's a quick breakdown. Feeder 1 covers Case Avenue from the power plant to Shake Street, Church Street to the ferry terminal, continuing on the airport loop to the Forest Service building. It also covers all of downtown, except during the winter months. In winter, Feeder 2 covers downtown, along with its normal area of Shake Street, from Ramey's Bar to Reliance Harbor. Feeder 3 goes from the corner of Case and Zemovia to the Public Safety Building, then up Bennett to the Forest Service. And Feeder 4 starts at the corner of Case and Zemovia and goes all the way out the road to 13 Mile. It also covers Peninsula to the Point. Hammer says the online tool is interesting because it shows people how they are connected to this complex system of power.
It's unlikely that you would notice the difference, I would imagine. If you were to run around and shut off all the lights, you probably wouldn't be able to change the meter much. But it's interesting just to know that what you're doing is actually a part of that meter there.
He says this is a useful tool during power outages, too.
Another way that this would be handy is, for instance, if the lights went out and you were kind of curious, you could go look and see which portions of town are actually out, whether it's just simply a feeder outage or if you see green lights across the board, well, you would know that the whole system was down. And more importantly, if the megawatt hours read zero, well, you know, we really got a problem.
Community members can only view the web page, but Hammer says the people who work on the system can actually tap into it via this tool. That makes it easier to fix problems and share information at a distance. He says it should make repairs more efficient. And he says it's just a great way of involving the community in the system that allows everyone to flip a switch and turn on the lights. Reporting in Wrangell, I'm Shady Grove Oliver.
The Coast Guard on Tuesday towed a fishing tender to safety after it experienced engine failure in the Gulf of Alaska. The Coast Guard says in a release that the cutter Anna Kappa towed the 125-foot Express 90 miles to Hoonah. The ship, which had two people on board, reported that it was adrift on Sunday. No vessels were nearby to assist, and when the weather began to deteriorate, the Coast Guard had the Anna Kappa get underway. The Coast Guard says it will investigate the cause of the engine failure on the Express. The boat was built in 1913 as a fireboat in Portland, Oregon. It was converted to a fishing vessel in 1973. Its home port is Chignik. Anchorage residents might soon be hearing the phrase, plus tax. Mayor Dan Sullivan is considering a sales tax in the city to reduce the burden on property taxes. Sullivan says four community discussions will be set up next month and in November about a possible sales tax. Meetings with civic groups were held earlier this year. His spokeswoman says one idea that came from those discussions was instituting a seasonal sales tax targeting summer tourists. Sullivan could push for a vote on the sales tax during the April municipal elections, but voters have not been warm to the idea in the past. They've rejected a city sales tax four times before.